Young Dorian Gray is walking this way. The ladies all blush and I hear them all say, will he stop, will he smile, as I pause for a while to savor their sweet adulation. Mr. Gray, if you please, won't you come round for tea? And I nod to the ladies who flutter and tease. In my best Savile Row, I come and I go, and ask in the crowd's admiration. To Basil I came, a moth to a flame, accepting his compliments, feeling no shame. Now Lord Henry is here, with a word in my ear, to offer his poisonous instruction. The garden is fair, in the warm summer air, I go into my destiny, all unaware. And silent and sly, with her emerald eye, Bastet waits to weave my destruction. The cat goddess stands at the picture's right hand, obsidian icon from strange distant lands. For 5,000 years worshipped and feared, with power to work a man's doom. Basil takes up his brush, Harry's words make me blush. From the garden I hear the sweet song of a thrush. I take up my pose, the fragrant breeze blows, Harry's serpentine song fills the room. There is nothing but youth, Harry's words rang of truth. All too soon comes old age, wretched, crude, and uncouth. You don't feel it, I know, it was ever just so. We learn it when it is too late. What the gods give today, they will soon take away. Time will have its revenge, Master Dorian Gray. Harry's words hold me fast, till Basil at last lays the ultimate brushstroke, the seal on my fate. He permits me to see, can this truly be me? His art has made more than a picture should be. What dark alchemy's here? Harry's praise is sincere, but I fear there is something in error. I am flesh and my lot is to age then to rot. And why should this dead thing have all that I've not? This face I behold that will never grow old fills my soul with despair and with terror. Basil preens like a tart, Harry praises his art, twisting a dagger thrust deep in my heart. Half madly I say, it must not be this way, let it be Basil's picture grows old. Let my youth stay forever, let the bloom wither never, and remain as I am now forever and ever. To stay young and to live, all I have I will give, for that I will tender my soul. And three hear me swear, three see my despair, the artist, the tempter, and the one grants my prayer. Basil Hallward is shocked. Lord Henry just mocks. Bastet savors all my desire. My friends cannot see that a doom falls on me. I appear as I feel now, so careless and free, and still unafraid of the bargain I've made. I set out in smartest attire. All of London is mine, through a season divine. I wander in search of a magical sign. Through slum and salon I pass recklessly on, in the hope that my dreams will draw near. Now a black barren square, down a dark alley there, an absurd little theater with gaslights aflare. And passing within, in the smoke and the dim, see a radiant vision appear. Her face is abloom, her voice is perfume, her genius transcends and commands and consumes. Sybil Vane, Sybil Vane, what a glorious name! And to her I am only Prince Charming. She breathes life to each role. She brings light to my soul. Alone I am half, but with her I am whole. Juliet and Ophelia, Rosalind and Cornelia, she is womankind, sweet and disarming. And we pledge we shall marry, though Basil and Harry speak of caution and counsel that I must be wary. Painter and peer must now meet my dear, and they too will soon sing her praise. But when the play starts, she has lost all her art, and my love is a dead thing, a stone in my heart. Now my friends rush away, I have nothing to say, and coldly I sit in a daze. Though she weep and lament, to my purpose I'm bent. She has murdered my love, and I will not relent. By forsaking her art, she has hardened my heart. She is common where once she was fine. I declare my disgust, and I tell her I must be gone from her now, for she's broken my trust. Though she clutches my sleeve, I make haste to leave, no matter how much she may pine. Sybil Vane, who is she? She is nothing to me. Bastet softly purrs and contently agrees. I stalk the foul streets, caring not whom I meet, seeking all that the darkness dispenses. Lord Henry spoke true, there is nothing to do but to turn from love's folly to pleasure anew. The senses made whole by means of the soul, and the soul healed by means of the senses. As I come home that night, at the rim of my sight, my picture looks odd, sure it must be the light. I go troubled to bed. But the thought fills my head, I steal down to the parlor again. Now I bring the lamp near, the truth becomes clear. In horror I gaze at the thing that I fear. I have not gone deranged, Basil's picture has changed. My soul is laid bare to all men. The cruel smile mocks, I am a thief in the dock, to be taken by warders with chains and with locks. It recalls to me now, I remember my vow, that blasphemous oath so absurd. My youth for my soul, such a terrible toll, for an idle remark that was meant to be droll. My fate I defy, it was Harry, not I. I cannot be bound by those words. But the picture replies with malevolent eyes, you knew what you asked for, too late to deny. And there in that room, hid deep in the gloom, a black figure purrs in its breast. I make vows in the night, I shall set things aright. I'll amend things with Sybil, and I'll walk in the light. I will love her and marry the devil with Harry. My conduct will be of the best. I go gladly to bed, meaning all I have said. In the morn I will tell her that we shall be wed. With sweet words all sincere, I will call her my dear, and beg her consent we should marry. I rise with a smile, never dreaming the while that the die has been cast in a manner most vile. And who should appear with the news that I fear? Who else but my serpent, Lord Harry? Sybil Vane now is dead. Words that toll in my head. Death knell for myself, more than she I would wed. A cold hand grips my heart. I am now set apart, for the stain on the portrait is set. That cruel smile will not fade. The foul bargain I've made has doomed me to debt that cannot be repaid. What my face cannot show, the picture will know, and never forgive or forget. So capricious and mad, it is really too bad. She unjustly condemns me, I refuse to be sad. I would make her my wife, yet she takes her own life. It is she, never I, that's the sinner. So when Basil appears, I am done with my tears. His remonstrances fated to fall on deaf ears. Basil cannot believe that I no longer grieve, but I tell him I must dress for dinner. Alone with my fate, I can no longer wait to see what the picture has now to relate. The mirror is there to contrast and compare, like a lesson recalled from my school. My face in the glass seems as pure as a lass, an image of innocence, ready for mass. While that dread visage grins as if proud of its sins, more coarse and more knowing and cruel. So now I shall have youth, while my image uncouth will suffer the toll of the monstrous truth. Very well then, I say, I will hide it away, a memory to be left behind. In an old attic room, in the dust and the gloom, shall languish in darkness the sign of my doom. The door firmly locked, the staircase well blocked, and no more to trouble my mind. Many years I walk free to seek all I can be, to taste and to touch and to hear and to see. All sensations are mine, obscene and divine, of body and mind in full measure. Through slum and salon I glide ceaselessly on, untouched by experience, once it is gone. While the thing in the dark must bear every mark and pay the full price of each pleasure. As Lord Henry would claim, I must never feel shame. To seek my true nature must be my sole aim. But what that may be remains hidden from me. I rage like a frustrated child. Strange aromas and sounds, books arcane and profound, all manner of things to confuse and confound. Rare ointments and drugs, ornate Persian rugs, my striving grows ever more wild. Though I test every sin, I feel nothing within. I weary of each before it can begin. Though men whisper my name as a byword for shame, no consequence comes to confound me. When discovery seems here, when some danger draws near, the picture still robs me of even my fear. My demonic specter, my dreaded protector, folds her dark, deadly mantle around me, till fate in its spite brings Basil one night to demand why my name has become such a blight. He says he has doubt, having heard all about the litany of my transgressions. He cannot believe or even conceive, and yet such vile calumnies cause him to grieve. He demands, I reply, but I do not deny. On impulse, I proffer confessions. To the attic I lead, and 'tis there he will read the journal I keep to record every deed. And why should he not see? Of all men, surely he should know how my soul has descended. And there in that gloom, in that dank, cursed room, he learns how his painting has brought me to doom. In his fatuous way, he implores me to pray, but faith, once it's torn, can't be mended. Who is he now, I ask, to take me to task? He who condemned me to hide my mask. His is the shame, it is he most to blame. The blade fills my hand all unbidden. Red rage clouds my eyes as the picture, not I, condemns my destroyer most justly to die. I awake from a dream, but I stifle a scream. This hideous thing must be hidden. But where can I go? Alan Campbell would know, though I lost his affection some 10 years ago. I will summon him here. He must come, though I fear he'll be devilish hard to enlist. I shall show him my need. I'll cajole and I'll plead. My life is at stake, and he must intercede. And if he will not agree, if it simply must be, I shall have to be cruel and insist. My servant is sent, my purpose now bent. No time now to weaken, no time to repent. But when Alan appears, my pleas fall on deaf ears. At last I must show him the letter. You read there her name, you know well the shame. Hate me or no, you must help all the same. Though it sickens his soul, he belongs to me whole. He must save me and cannot do better. Basil Hallward must fade like a melody played, heard once in a dream and then gone with the day. In acid and flame, all he was but his name will vanish with never a trace. So let Alan begin to erase this new sin. I resolve to go out, for I cannot stay in. I am drawn to the docks where the whores roughly mock, but the shadows can hide a man's face. In the lowest fell den, mid the lowest of men, with the damned and despairing, I find me again. When a hideous bawd, her foul features seem gnawed, cackles and names me Sir Tristan. Long ago Sybil Vane once gave me that name, and I flee from this omen, this echo of shame. In the dark fetid night, my face hid from the light, my heart pounds in my chest like a piston. Then a hand grips my coat, a knife finds my throat, a grim face appears from the darkness remote. Take my purse if you would. There is no need for blood. Come pocket your prize and depart. No, make no mistake. Not your gold will I take, but your misgotten life for my dear sister's sake. Long years have I sought to give what I ought, this blade to your murderous heart. Long years, did he say, I might yet walk away, see my face in the light, am I he you would slay? The blade rings on the stone, James Vane stifles a moan, to think what I nearly did here. But Sir Tristan, she cried, 'tis my name, I replied. In the future, take care, for we both might have died. And I hastened toward home, feeling cold and alone, and gripped by a terrible fear. Still undone by that dread, from London I fled to sojourn at Selby to help clear my head. But James Vane still pursued, relentless and rude. Or did I imagine him there? My mind raged and spun to the sound of the guns, and I shivered with cold in the warmth of the sun. Then by some mad fluke, he was shot by the Duke, and by that strange twist was I spared. And I go down to see and find it was he. I feel I hear destiny laughing at me. My demon protector, my obsidian specter, must surely be toying with me. How so like a cat, such fear to begat, to show me her claws, then retract them like that. From old age and decay, I have been walled away. Now from justice as well I am free. Now a calm interlude, reprieve lightens my mood, and I vow to renounce all things cruel and crude. In a quaint village square, a fair maid I meet there, a peach sweet and ripe in her youth. After all I have done, could I love such a one? The smile she bestows feel as warm as the sun. If I take her away, there may soon come a day when she senses my terrible truth. Sweet Hetty, I say, I must leave here today. Far better forget me, far better you stay. As pure as you are, and not bear the scar of loss of your precious good name. Though she cries in despair, I leave the girl there with the scent of the lilacs in warm summer air. Far kinder, I know, to leave the girl so, save her from trouble and shame. and perhaps this good deed may yet intercede to redeem my dark soul from corruption and greed. One act won't suffice to redress years of vice, but the picture may yet offer hope. For one gesture benign, might there be some small sign, some hint that salvation may someday be mine. One turning from sin is my way to begin, one step up that arduous slope. Can I break with my past? Can the curse lift at last? Can I ever be free from the clutches of Bast? Back to London I go. I must see, I must know if that damnable painting can mend. Now the house is so dark, the silence so stark, I shrink from the path on which I must embark. Up that black stair I tread, full of hope, full of dread. Will it mirror the good I intend? Now on reaching the top, my heart seems to drop. I cannot go on, but no more can I stop. The door is unlocked, the way is unblocked, and lamplight now pierces the gloom. And now I shall see what Bastet says of me. Has the outcome been willed where what's willed then must be? The cloth smells of must, it scatters the dust, revealing the face of my doom. My mouth gapes to scream, but as if in a dream, no sound can be heard, though my tears start to stream. My good deed is denied. Was it mere sin of pride? That vile face has grown even worse. I refuse what I see. This foul fiend is not me. While this image tells lies, I can never be free. With the same bloody knife that once took Basil's life, I deliver myself from my curse. But a few came to know of the grisly tableau that greeted the servant who first dared to go. To find the dead man with gray's rings on his hand, face too bestial for men's eyes to bear. With a knife in his breast, all the servants attest he was stranger to them and to all of the rest. And down from the wall, so handsome and tall, their master's fair image did stare. In the dark room below, though it should not be so, the emerald eye of a cat seems to glow. And silent and sly, with her emerald eye, an obsidian statue is smiling. The demon called Bast, contented at last, observes as the future flows down to the past. and silent and sly, with her emerald eye, the ancient cat goddess is waiting.